Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. We say hello now to our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, senior NHL writer for them, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Greg, what's up? You survived a seven-game Stanley Cup final and trips from Florida to Edmonton and all the way back. How you doing?
Yeah, it was that was a long one, man. And the juxtaposition between going from the beautiful beaches of Fort Lauderdale to downtown Edmonton was certainly one I'm still wrapping my brain around. But listen, it was worth it. It was one of the better finals that we've had, obviously, and people have been kind of opining that it might be the best ever. And again, with the Oilers coming within one win of probably the best comeback in hockey history. I mean, the last time it happened, there was only six teams. Is really impressive. And at the end of the day, I think the right team won. I think Florida is probably a bit better than Edmonton, but it was a really thrilling final.
I agree with you. At the end of the day, I think the better team won. And also at the end of the day, the better player was the Conn Smythe winner. You think they got that right with Connor McDavid?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wrote a piece after game four saying he probably had a really good case to win it, and that was before his second straight four-point game. I mean, I know there's been a lot of attention on him not having points in the final two games of the series, and, yeah, it's a bummer for him and for the team. I think by that point, though, there was a bit of exhaustion that set in. He had been battling an injury. I mean, he played something crazy, like eight of the last 10 minutes of game seven. He could only do so much, and the bottom line is that they would have been nowhere near the position they were in, either after, you know, the regular season or the playoffs, were it not for Connor McDavid. And, you know, breaking a Gretzky assist record, coming within 5 points of Gretzky's all-time record for points in the postseason. I mean, these are numbers that we just can't even comprehend. So I had no problem with him winning.
Do you think that Knobloch maybe got outmanaged a little bit towards the end of that game? Because, I mean, you just mentioned it. Draisaitl, McDavid, the big guns were on the ice for a long time. They were absolutely gassed at the end. And I think they outplayed Florida for a majority of the third period. But they didn't have anything left in the tank at the end, and I kind of felt like that was mismanaged by the coach.
Yeah, I think he got outmaneuvered by Paul Maurice throughout the series, to be honest with you. I didn't think that, you know, the buttons that he was pressing in previous rounds were not necessarily yielding the same kind of return in the final series. And, you know, I think the one of the big issues that's not talked about is that, you know, they were missing a pretty big player, I mean, in Evander Kane. He had a sports hernia throughout the entire year. He's a top six winger. I mean, plays on Draisaitl's line. You know, I think his reputation that we don't, you know, talk about the quality of play that he is. But if you take a second line winger who scores goals off the roster, and all these games are, you know, tightly played one goal games, it's certainly going to have an impact.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
Yeah, Greg, somebody was saying that, you know, it's not fair that, you know, the series ends on Monday night and now the draft is this weekend and everything, but they seem to forget what 14 teams, their season ended in mid-April, and there's some other teams ended early May. So it's just a victim of your success, right? I mean, if you're the Predators or the Oilers?
I mean, in some ways, yeah. I mean, I think that also television plays a part in why the playoffs go as late as they do. And, you know, we should get used to it, because honestly, we have this in-season tournament next year, the Four Nations thing with Canada, U.S., Sweden, and Finland, that's going to push everything late in the summer as well. It's just a really, really quick transition, though, to, like, go from seeing, you know, Matthew Tkachuk partying with the cup on the beach to all of a sudden wondering which one of his teammates is not going to get re-signed. I mean, it's like a lightning-fast transition to the point where the cup gets won, and then a week later is the opening of free agency. I think I'd like a little bit more time built in, just because I think that it helps fans kind of understand storylines and get into looking at draft boards and all that nonsense. But you know, considering when the final ended, it's going to have to be what it is this year.
All right, Greg. So the what Tuesday we get news that Shea Weber's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I've never seen a debate of like, yeah, well, I mean, for us here in Nashville, he's beloved. We'd put him in tonight if we could. Can we stop at one point, Greg? The old, well, he never won a Stanley Cup, so that just drives me insane. Shea Weber, to me, is a Hall of Famer.
I don't think not winning a Stanley Cup should be disqualifying, but I do think that it certainly increases your case, right? In Weber's case, I found it interesting that he also never won a Norris. I mean, he was a finalist a few times, and you know, he played in an era with some pretty darn good defensemen like Nick Lidstrom and Erik Karlsson. But I mean, you know, the thing about him and the Hall of Fame has used this in the past is that even though he never won a Stanley Cup, he won everything else. You know, he won world championships. He won two Olympic gold medals with Team Canada, which I think is a very big deal for that selection committee. You know, he's won in juniors. So he's got wins. He's got championships. It's just not the big one in the NHL. And that's, you know, goes back to what people always say. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the NHL Hall of Fame. I was a little surprised he got in as quickly as he did, if we're being honest. I mean, I think that there are worthy candidates that are out there that are still waiting their turn, like Alex McGillney, for example. The idea that they rushed to get Weber in this class is a little interesting, but they've never really been the same kind of stickler for the sequence of who gets in and when, as say like the Baseball Hall of Fame is.
Do you think that there was a little bit with Weber? Obviously, the Olympics and all that plays a role, but was there a little bit of his career got cut short? I mean, he got hurt, and so it was a little bit okay. Well, he was still playing at a high level, and there could have been more to come. And so it's like what he could have done.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen that too in the past. I mean, with like players like Pavel Bure, Eric Lindros, yeah. You know, the sort of what if of it all, I think, probably plays into it. But you know, like you said, I mean, he called it quits after he helped lead a team to the Cup final, right? So it's not like you know, he had nothing left in the tank. But yeah, it's. I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I'm not upset that he's in. I mean, I think that, you know, when you think about the last 15 years of the NHL, I mean, he's definitely one of the most important defensemen from that era, even if he doesn't necessarily have the same kind of hardware.
So Barry Trotz said on our station earlier this week that he's making phone calls, he's taking phone calls, he's in on the big names. He kind of referenced a player from Toronto. So now we're at draft, and this is where some of these big moves go down. How many big moves do you expect over the course of the next few days, and do you think Nashville's involved in them?
I think so. I think he's going to be aggressive. This team is clearly a little bit ahead of schedule with the postseason appearance. I think that he's got a little bit of confidence now that he's got some experience as a GM to really pull the trigger on some big moves. So I imagine they're going to be aggressive. I think we're going to see a lot. I mean, I wrote a bit about this notion of like the dominoes knocking into each other in a piece on ESPN today, which is a little bit more fanciful than reality. But, you know, it kind of speaks to the idea that we could see a Mitch Martin trade. We could see Jake Gensel sign with a huge team and be a factor on somebody's top line. We could even see Leon Draisaitl get traded. I mean, that's really one of the bigger news pieces of news to come out of the last few days is, you know, him saying he wants to stay in Edmonton, but kind of saying, you know, that they're going to have to see what's good for him and what's good for the Oilers, in that he's got one more year left in his contract. And, you know, who knows if they're going to be able to keep the band together. And if that's the case, I mean, we are only a couple of years removed from Matthew Tkachuk telling the Calgary Flames, hey, I'm not going to resign. And then he, you know, gets traded. So we'll see what happens there. But I mean, those are the kinds of players, Marner and others, that we're talking about right now. And it's pretty thrilling. And then, you know, don't forget the cap increase too, which is certainly a factor in all of this and teams being able to be flexible and make some additional moves.
With free agency, obviously there are two pretty big names that I would think their teams want to keep them. Steven Stamkos, who's 34 years old with Tampa, and then Sam Reinhart, who just won the Cup with Florida. Do you feel like that both of those deals get done and they stay with their clubs, or could you see one or both of them moving?
I mean, listen, you know, Reinhart's going to make a lot of money on the open market, but being around that Panthers team, I get the sense he wants to stay. I get the sense they want to keep him. He plays a really pivotal role on that team. He's the winger for Alexander Barkov. I mean, and that duo kind of reminds you of an elevated Bergeron and Marchand in Boston. Like, you know, better offensively, maybe not as good defensively, but really good defensively. They're an important sort of bedrock for that Panthers team, and I imagine they're gonna choose him out of the players that are up for new contracts to try to keep. Stamkos is tough, man. Like, they got a price in mind for this guy, and he's either gonna take it or leave. I think they are really preying on the idea that this guy's stuff is in Tampa, his family's in Tampa. He wants to finish his career as a member of the Lightning. He wants to be part of this core as they try to press forward and maybe win a cup together for the last time. I mean, they're really preying on the idea that he's going to take some level of discount in order to stay. And that's going to probably lead to him testing the market and probably lead to him seeing some really impressive numbers from other teams that want to bring him in. And then he's going to have a bit of a conundrum on his hands.
Are you in Vegas, Greg?
No, I'm not.
You going to go out there for any of this?
I'm not, no.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yossi, he's had enough travel.
Yeah, right. Yossi bringing home tonight or no?
God, I haven't even thought about the awards. No, I think the consensus is going to be a Quinn Hughes year. You know, the Norris, more than most awards, are, you know, the award where they choose somebody and it's their year. You know, the Hart can be like that sometimes too. That's why I have an inkling McKinnon will win tonight, but the Norris, more than anything, it's just like it felt from the beginning of the year that as soon as Quinn started putting up those numbers that it was going to be his to win. So I imagine that's what we'll end up seeing tonight.
Is it, you know, Brunette's up tonight. He probably won't win, but that's okay. But does he win by just being one of the final three, Greg?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, like, I think Bruno had a really important year in the sense that there was still this notion from the Florida success that, you know, he's coaching Quenneville's team and he's just kind of taking over for what's already there. And then, you know, he goes to Jersey and does really well. He leaves, they fall apart. He goes to Nashville, they do really well. So there's something, clearly something going on with Andrew Brunette as far as like his success on the ice. So I think that this was a good piece of validation for how good he's been and the coach that he is.
Well, Greg, it's certainly been a fun season. I know we're entering some vacation seasons and off next week for the 4th. And so I know it'll be a while before we talk to you again. We really appreciate this. It's been a lot of fun doing this every week.
Yeah, absolutely, boys. Thanks a ton, and we'll talk to you next season.
Absolutely. Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer for ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet, as always, and really enjoy him joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of that and kind of look at this weekend and what the Predators might do. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.